The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You are listening to Sunday's edition of the podcast and we'll look ahead at three races, two from Chester and one from Newbury. My name is Sam Norris and I'm joined today on the podcast by James Millman. How are you today, James?
Good afternoon. Yeah, pretty good. Obviously, not the greatest weather this weekend up in the north, which
no.
A bit soaked on the way to work this morning. But Touchwood, some good racing actually on Sunday, which is rare. A lot of criticism about the Sunday racing, but we've got Chester, Newbury, and a bit of jumping from Market Raisins, so a little bit to look forward to.
Yeah, it's been a back-to-back decent Sundays, actually. I think it was last Sunday, might have been the week before we've had decent racing on a Sunday, so all good stuff. Before we move on to Sunday's racing, obviously we've had Glorious Goodwood in the week. What were your personal highlights of the meeting?
Well, obviously Kingman, very, very impressive. A bit of a crawl and a bit of a sprint. Perhaps not the actual ideal way to run a race, but it just showed Kingman's blister and turn of foot once again. And Richard Hughes kind of knew he wasn't on the best horse on Toronado, and he was trying to find a way to get Kingman beat. And whether riding Kingman for speed, I don't know if that was the way to get him beat. But despite looking uncomfortable in the crowd, I think he was very happy two furlongs from home. But he really picked up strongly inside the final furlong. And I have to say, I was very, very impressed, because for me, he's a horse that's much better on easy ground. So the fact he could do that on a quick surface, it does just show you how good he is. And it's great the three-year-olds as well have kind of bounced back a little bit, because before Tegruda, Knight of Thunder was obviously disappointing in the Eclipse, and there's a few question marks were arising against the three-year-olds, against the older horses, but Kingman certainly confirmed he's a very, very decent type.
Yeah, absolutely. It was another sensational performance from him, and an intriguing tactical display really from Richard Hughes on board Toronado. Is that the way to beat him, or is the ride that Knight of Thunder was given in the 2000 Guineas? I mean, do you have to go flat out to beat Kingman?
Possibly. He's so quick. Obviously, John Gosden's says if he ran him in a July Cup, he would have won very, very easily, because Gregorian came third and Gregorian couldn't even work with Kingman at home. So I think he's got so much speed. I think stamina is the only way he's going to get beat. By the sounds of it, he's never going to step up to a mile and a quarter. Always going to stick at a mile. So I think you need a pacemaker who's a strongly run race to try and get him beat. The excuse after 2,000 guineas was that James had a kick too soon to catch the Spanish horse, Nuzo Canarias, and that's why he got beat. He thought if he'd all race in one group and he could have judged the pace a little bit better, he thinks he would have won that day. And then the form subsequent does suggest that he would have done. But like I say, he's just a very, very good horse. My only concern is for him long term. He doesn't look the most fluent of movers, and how long he's going to stay sound is a question mark, because there were murmurings he might miss a Sussex. So he's obviously still got a few problems, and he had an injury after Sandown last year. So that is a concern long term, especially if we see him as a four-year-old. But at the minute, we've got a very classy three-year-old, and look forward to him. QE2 Champions meeting. I think that could be a very, very good meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that one. Any other eye-catching performances for you? I mean, we had Ivorwood and Highland Really both won impressively and have been installed as 8-1 and 14-1 for the 2,000 guineas. Those two impressed you?
Well, Ivorwood is very, very quick. They're going to keep him at 6 furlongs this year. They're not really too keen to step up to the mile. And that's obviously got to be a concern trending on next year as a three-year-old. Is he going to be as effective over a mile? So 8-1 is a little bit too short for me. For the 2,000 guineas, but I think he's probably our best two-year-old at the moment. But for me, as always, the 2,000 guineas market, I wouldn't be looking at that until after the Dewhurst, and we've got a bit of a firmer idea on who is the best two-year-old. But I think speed-wise, he's very, very good at Ivorwood. Mark Johnson, once again, he's been banging in the winners at Glorious Goodwood. Bearing in mind, it's such a competitive meeting to get so many winners up there. And Heavy Metal again ran well yesterday.
Yeah.
Slight disappointment for me was that Jimmy Fortune obviously rode the winner, but he picked up a big ban, 9-day ban, and he £2,300 fine on a Red Avenger. And for me, should the horse be disqualified, because obviously he's broke the rules so extremely, the winning margin was so small, if he kept within the rules, would he have won? And for me, I think Heavy Metal probably should have been the winner. And I think the rules, perhaps when they go so far over the Whitbread, I think they should probably get disqualified. But apart from that, it's been an excellent Glorious Goodwood.
Yeah, it has. And hopefully we have good racing today on Saturday. Of course, we record this before the racing on Saturday, so we can't flex on the Stewards' Cup, but looking forward to that one. We'll move on to some of Sunday's action now then. James has picked out three races for us to look at from Sunday. The first of those coming from Chester. This is the 2:30, 6-furlong sprint, this one. And Kilbar chasing a hat-trick, James.
Yeah, Kilbar is the one I'm going to select, despite the fact he's drawn five out of five, which... at Chester, as we know, you want to be drawn right on that rail. But I think he could be the best horse in the race. Going through the draws, Rudy's drawn still one. Tom Dascombe's runner. Very, very speedy individual. He's been in some high-class races recently. I just worry whether the edge has been taken off him a little bit. Struggling in better grade. So I'm going to stick with Kabar, despite the fact he's drawn five. Steve Prescott is a very nice horse for Richard Fahey. But Dr. Marwan insists on running this horse at Chester. And I don't think he's that handles the bends that well. I think if you ran him on a more conventional track... He's pretty good, but Dr. Marwan does insist on running his horses at Chester, and also I think Steve Prescott, we've seen to better effect on a straight track. Ticks the boxes is interesting. Clive Cox drawn two, one and second start could be anything, but I'm going to stick with Kabar, and the horses from the Barry Hill stable are running very well at the moment.
Okay, fair enough, Kilbar, for that one. Just looking at Matmu as well, is this horse of any interest to you? Seems to have a touch of the second ice about him, second on his first three. Finally, got the win last time out at Haydock. Has he got any chance in this race?
He's certainly got a chance, but he just looks a little bit exposed. He's already the lowest RPR out of the five runners, and he adjusted of 82, and I just think he needs to improve a little bit more. Drawn three in the middle. I'll probably see him third or fourth, to be fair. I think he might struggle to win this.
Fair enough. Then the selection for James in the first race that we look at, the 2:30 from Chester, is Kibar. We'll move on then to another race from Chester. This one, the 3:05. Listed race, this one, 6 furlongs again. What are your thoughts for this one?
Again, bigger field this time, 12 runners to the draw is really going to be key. But nice to see a listed race on a Sunday, £37,000 in prize money. And Chester always renowned for good prize money, and they've got a competitive field. The one I'm going to select is Artistic Jewel. She comes out well clear on Racing Post rating. She's been a little bit disappointing so far this year, but well drawn in stall two. Frey Norton, he rides Chester the best, I think, out of any jockey. Certainly the go-to man around there, and that could be a big advantage in what looks like a competitive sprint. Stall three, Ballista, a bit of a Chester specialist, but his form this year has not been quite so good, and he has got a good draw in stall three, so I think he'll be handy in probably come place, but whether he can win on these terms remains to be seen. Dinkum Diamond, top weight, got to give him a bit of a squeak in very good form. Will enjoy dropping back in grade, but still six. He could be posted a little bit wide. Ertegel was interesting. He ran away in the Bunbury Cup last time out. Dropped back to a sprint trip. Certainly couldn't rule him out. And Sir Maximilian, if he ran after running in the Stewards' Cup today, he could go okay, but still nine is a bit of a concern. But Artistic Jewel will be the selection.
Okay then, Artistic Jewel for that one for James. Couple of each way picks as well to look at with the 12 runners in that one. The third and final race that we'll come to on the podcast is the 5:25 from Newbury. 1 mile 4 furlong handicap this one. Who's caught your eye here?
Well, simply gone for the race. My dad's got a runner, Graphene, at the bottom of the weights there. Cam Hardy takes the ride, takes off £5. He would like a little bit of rain. That is the only slight factor with him, because at the moment the ground is good to firm at Newbury, but if it did go good to soft, perhaps with all the showers forecast, he could run quite well, because he won on soft ground at Bath. He's not really had his ground conditions the last twice, but it wasn't a bad effort at Newbury on finishing sixth in a similar kind of race. He's a three-year-old, so he gets an £11 weight allowance from his older rivals. And Cam Hardy's a very useful apprentice, takes off £5. We've only got 8 stone 2, and I could see him running a good race. If the rain doesn't come, Westerly is obviously very dangerous for Willie Haggas. Won his second start. James Doyle takes a ride, and he's very unexposed in a race where the older horses, they don't look that useful. Shades of Grey's been a little bit disappointing for Clive Cox. April CL, he wins his races, but he's not really a Newbury kind of horse, and it just looks a weak race. So hopefully if the rain comes, Graphene can go close. If not, Westerly, the other three, is the one to be on.
Okay, fair enough then. Graphene for James in that one. If we get the rain, and would appreciate a bit more juice in the ground. If you could just spin us through one more time, please, your selections for Sunday's racing.
Yeah, Chester, we've gone for Kabar in the 2:30. Barry Hills' team are in very, very good form, despite still five. Only five runners. I think you could probably get a bit better price because of the draw. I think he could be the best horse in that race. In the 3:05, I've gone for Artistic Jewel. Well drawn in still two. Hopefully she can find last year's form, because she's a very, very useful filly. And finally, at 5:25, if the rain does come, I think Graphene's got a good chance in the finale.
Excellent. There we go then, the thoughts of James Millman on this William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. And you can join James for all of the action tomorrow on Racing Radio in the company of Sean Quinn and Mark Slater from 1:50pm. All the action on Sunday from Chester, Newbury, Market Raisin, and of course the final day of the Galway Festival from across the Irish Sea. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, James, and good luck with your bets.
Thanks a lot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.